This is a podcast that seeks justice. Justice for the lives stolen by those in society that hide amongst us every day. Hidden in our towns, cities, and countrysides, the places that we work, and sometimes in our very own homes. This is Hidden Killers.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. Press subscribe wherever you may be downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on the cases that we are following for you right here. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining us today. We're talking the Alec Murtaugh trial. You've been watching this now for almost 3 weeks. Lots to dissect here. I'm curious to get your opinion from a distance. I know you can't diagnose anyone from this far away, but give me your observations with your expertise as a psychotherapist. What are we looking at here with Alec Murtaugh?
You know, it is just so incredibly hard to imagine, particularly when you hear the witnesses or the testimony from the court experts on the state of the bodies, you know, his son's brain blown out of his head. I mean, it's just incomprehensible to think that a father who presented as normally as Alex presented, that he would do something like this. I think that's my shock in listening to it. It's just incomprehensible. Now, he was a wheeler dealer. He was a liar. He turned out to be a thief. These are all signs of a person with psychopathic tendencies. But could he make that leap to that kind of violence with family members that everybody says he appeared to love? Man, what a case. What a case. Because the evidence that, you know, was on that tape, that audio tape, that he was actually present right before these, his son and wife were killed, that's pretty damning evidence that he's not telling the truth. But boy, it is hard, I think, for all of us to wrap around our head around. Would the case that, you know, the prosecution is making, that this was all to deflect the heat he was getting about his, you know, extortion and the financial crimes, is this plausible? It's kind of a difficult one to see at this point. I'm curious to hear all the evidence, and I'm going to be listening to it, because if he could have done this, man, just for the sake of, you know, a financial crime charge, this is really, really, really hard to understand.
It is. And I look at this, and you look at some of the testimony from the individuals who have talked in court over the last couple of weeks, saying, I don't think anyone knew Alec Murtaugh, from people that knew him since they were teenagers. And then eventually he hired them at their firm. They've known each other for 20 some, 30 some years, and had no idea that he was capable of those financial crimes and stealing from all of those people and keeping a straight face. So is it that hard of a bridge to cross if we were to say he's doing the exact same thing or did the exact same thing with his family as well?
Yeah. I think he is clearly a person who puts on a false face very, very well and can play, you know, loving and compassionate and caring while he's doing very strange things. And, you know, just listening to that 911 call he made after he hired the guy, you know, to supposedly shoot him, his cousin, you know, I mean, this guy is really comfortable with lying. It's second nature to him. Storytelling comes natural. And so I think that's where, you know, normally I would say, oh, I just don't believe a parent could do something like this to family members that they purported to love. But in this case, this guy is kind of a special person. He's a piece of work in that way. He does fake very well.
When someone's able to do this, are they suffering from a mental illness? Is this a personality disorder? Can someone be doing these things without a mental illness or a personality disorder? Or will it always fall into one of those two categories if they're exhibiting this sort of behavior?
Yeah, it's always going to fall into the personality disorder category like this, because they have to be thinking strategically. Mm-hmm. They have to be planning. Obviously, if this is all true, this guy planned in great detail, you know, to be making the phone calls to try to throw people off. This is very planned out and, you know, sadistic in that way. But this is not a person who was psychotic, having delusions and hallucinations. You know, this would have been strategic. So that goes into the realm of the psychopath, you know, and that's the cold, calculating, manipulative person who doesn't have empathy or compassion for others and is always working to advance their own interests. So it would be very psychopathic, you know, which does fit with the way he did business and practice law. He had a very psychopathic style.
Is it possible, or let me ask this, how would traumatic events like the deadly boat crash play into the role of the defendant's mental state leading up to the murders, when he already had all these other things going on and he already had this personality disorder going on? Does that create a moment of snapping? Does it change the trajectory of the insanity of what this individual is doing? How, when a big trauma like that then is encountered by someone who's already not right, what does that do?
Yeah, I think it throws them more into that cornered animal space, you know, where they do behave more desperately and with less, you know, thinking through, okay, how likely am I to get away with this? Mm-hmm. Certainly his behavior at the hospital, which I watched that video as well, after the boat crash immediately, he was going around and trying to create the narrative, the false narrative, that his son Paul was not driving the boat. And so he looked very calm. He looked very strategic. He was going into this, you know, I'm going to control the narrative here. So usually in those kind of situations, psychopaths are, you know, where many people would go in with a more emotional, you know, sense, they go in with more of a strategic sense. You know, I'm cornered. What am I going to do here? And certainly when it came to the boat crash, that's what he did. Now, there was a cumulative toll because it was due to the lawsuits. It was adding to his financial pressure. And so I think when we look at all of it, would that combined with perhaps the trigger of being confronted at work and being exposed with all the financial fraud that very day, would that have been enough to tip the scales? And it's possible, you know, I have to say it's possible. It seems so bizarre and strange, but we'll see what all the evidence shows.
And when you look at that and you look at all of it kind of almost being this storm of he's being confronted about the finances at his workplace, within 24 hours, his wife and son are then dead. We're talking about the emotions or the psyche of Alec Murdaugh, if he's in fact the one who did this. Is it more so the shame or the being looked down upon and the societal shame that would be thrown his way that he couldn't deal with? Or with the family, with his son and his wife, is it more so the shame that he would feel from them? Not being able to be the provider, not being able to be this person that he's built himself up to be in their minds, and now it all come crashing down and essentially the curtains being pulled back on the wizard. Is that the motive right there of rather than have to be viewed by these people as this utter failure in life? Would it be easier just to get rid of them so then you don't have that judgment coming at you?
Yeah, that's certainly a plausible guess. It's certainly plausible because, you know, he was narcissistic and obviously liked to act like, you know, he was the richest guy in the room and a benefactor to all sorts of people. And how much of that was really coming from ego and the, you know, the narcissism, which often goes with psychopathy. They cluster together. Yep. Of, you know, what an important guy I am. And perhaps the fear of, you know, how is this going to impact my family and how are they going to look down on me now? And am I going to be charged criminally with all of this? And so that's, you know, that's another layer, certainly plausible.
Can you speak to the psychology behind the way the scene at the house was left, such as the neatly folded pajamas and pots and pans placed in certain ways, and him asking the housekeeper, you know, make it how Maggie would want it. It just seems like when your family is murdered, I don't know that I'd really give a crap about how my house is looking at that moment in time.
Right. That's another strange piece here. And I think with this case, there are so many strange pieces, you know, the timing of the visit to the mom over at the, you know, where her caregiver was, and telling the caregiver, you know, I was here 30 to 40 minutes when he wasn't there that long. There are just a lot of things that are odd, you know, that when we look back, we all think, well, I wouldn't have done that.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't have done that. But I don't know that this is a case the prosecution can win, and I don't know if they should. I don't know if he's guilty or not. But there are definite, I mean, so many strange qualities to it.
Javon Scott, thank you for your insight into the Murdaugh case. Always appreciated. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on the cases that we are following for you. Get a commercial-free experience by subscribing through Apple Podcasts. You can even try that for 3 days free with a premium membership. I'm Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod. Until next time, for all of us here, thanks for listening.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.